far.
In A Fond Kiss by Alice Dale. Craig's mother was worried and confused about her depressed son and her inability to help him. Craig decided to start skin transplants. Pippa was delighted when a letter arrived from Pamela addressed to Craig, thinking it would cheer him up. Instead, he refused to read it and insisted that she burn it. Next day, at school, trying to control tears, she bumped into David.
Lifting her chin gently and looking into her tear-stained face, David asked softly,
"What's the matter? What's happened, Pippa?"
"Nothing that doesn't happen every day." Kindness often has a way of opening the floodgates of suppressed emotion, and it certainly did on this occasion, and the tears began to flow freely. Putting his arm round the shoulders of this sobbing woman, he guided her into his office, glad that none of the staff had witnessed her breakdown. Sitting her down on the seat facing his desk, he retrieved his own chair and wheeled it round till he was sitting opposite her. Elbows on his knees, he leant towards her.
"Has this anything to do with us? With what I told you about my marriage?"
"No, no. That was ages ago."
"Yes, been 4 weeks since we spoke, but it seems ages ago to me too."
He poured her a glass of water from the carafe on his desk, and thankfully she took a gulp, replaced the glass on the desk, and blew her nose.
"That's better,"
he smiled, and he saw her usual self-control returning. She looked up at him. "It's Craig. I don't know what to do with him. He's got me worried sick. It's like having a stranger in the house. I've tried everything I can think of to help him, but I don't want to sound like a nagging mother." Without realising it, she started pouring out all the stories of Craig's strange behaviour, his sudden angry outbursts for no reason, even details she had told no one else, such as the time she had suggested a psychologist might help him. And his reply had been, "Oh, thanks very much. You think I'm bonkers as well as everything else." She stopped out of breath, realising she had impersonated Craig's anger. "I know the skin grafts were painful, but I thought he'd be glad of them now they're over. If anything, they've made him worse. Unless it's something else. Something I don't know about that's causing all these mood swings. I just don't know what to do with him, David." She finished and heaved a sigh of frustration.
"Well, I'm not a parent and I'm certainly not a psychologist. So I'm just talking off the top of my head. But it seems to me he isn't ready to help himself yet, which I think is the only road to his recovery. I don't think there's anything you can do about it right now, or maybe ever. Until he wants help, there's no point in forcing it on him. Oh, I'm sorry, that came out the wrong way. What I should have said was, no point until you offer it."
"Maybe you were right the first time. Maybe forcing it on to him is how he sees it. So what you're saying is, just back off."
"Oh, I suppose it is, but that doesn't stop you making it clear you love him. If it's possible to do that in a more light-hearted way."
"You mean more like a friend and less like a mother?"
"Exactly. I think I understand how strong a mother's love is. I saw an example of it recently when I talked with the parents of one of our older boys. They were having problems with him. Not answering their questions or answering impudently, slipping out of the house without permission, you know, that kind of thing. It all amounted to defiance. They hoped I could do something about it. So, I had a long talk with the boy, and I learned he was angry with his poor results and, worse, the effect it was having on his parents. Now, I'm not suggesting that the problems of a prepubescent boy are the same as your son's.
And he hesitated. But?
But there might be a parallel.
He stopped, waiting for her permission to continue. Do you think they might be smothering him?
Yes. Well, not that you'd be as unsubtle as that. I'm sure you simply give advice.
She brightened. Yes, that's it exactly. Surely advice isn't the same as smothering.
Of course it isn't. But the person on the receiving end might interpret it that way, especially if you're dealing with an angry person. And let's face it, he has plenty to be angry about. See, angry people always want to blame someone else for their anger, even though deep down they're angry with themselves.
I see what you're saying, but I'm not sure how it helps.
Look, there's bound to be a big change soon, now the skin grafting's finished.
He slapped his thighs.
Now, who's handing out advice?
A big smile and twinkling eyes. He was the first person she had talked to who had offered real advice, and she felt he understood the situation, but didn't want to hurt her feelings. Oh, why does this man have to be married, she thought, even if they are separated and completely out of touch with each other. He's so easy to confide in. And her initial attraction to him was rising to the surface again. With a little cough, she stood up and said, So, I stopped giving advice.
I didn't say that,
he interrupted, as he rose up opposite her.
Ordinary everyday advice is okay, like, well, you know, like, put on your wellies, it's pissing down outside.
That daft image changed the whole atmosphere of tension. They both burst out laughing, and before she knew it, he had wrapped her in his arms and kissed her. Her mind and her heart were doing two different things as he stopped and looked at her intensely.
Well?
Was all he said. Their eyes locked. I think I'd better have my blood pressure checked, she said. Then suddenly, she knew she had wanted him to do that, and she slipped her arms round his neck and kissed him eagerly.
The Ascot tonight?
He asked. Remaining in his arms, she said, I'd love to. He was about to kiss her again when she added, But I can't. I've managed to get a bit of fish today.
What a romantic thing to say. And a bit of fish stops you going to the pictures,
In a way it does. She loosened her grip and moved away. I promised Craig fish and chips tonight. It's his favourite, and he hasn't had much appetite. So I was hoping that might tempt him. How about Saturday afternoon? An afternoon is easier to explain.
Do you have to explain?
At the moment, yes. He's used to me going to the pictures with my friend Iris on a Saturday afternoon. Evenings are his worst time. During the day, he stays in his room reading or playing his gramophone or a game of Patience. But when it's cold in the evening, he has to come through to the fire and we listen to the wireless together. Then we have a cup of tea before bed and talk a bit about what we've been listening to. Sometimes he nearly laughs when it's a funny programme. He wouldn't do any of that on his own. Slipping his arms round her and pulling her to him, he said,
I understand. Well, Saturday afternoon it is, if Iris doesn't mind.
Oh, Iris won't mind. She has plenty of friends. With her heart thumping against her ribs, she slipped out of his grip, retrieved her briefcase and handbag from the floor and rushed towards the door.
2:30 at the Ascot tomorrow,
he called after her. She turned and nodded vigorously and was gone. She wanted to skip along the road like an 18-year-old, for once putting all her negative thoughts about Craig and, for that matter, David, out of her mind.
Thank you.